This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
And so, our Father, we just want to say thank you. We thank you. We honor you. We appreciate you. Thank you for the honor to speak, Lord, this morning. Thank you. Thank you. I have nothing to say. I have nothing to give. Lord Jesus, you are the giver of all inspiration. Lord, I ask that, Lord, you breathe upon me this day. And Lord, help me to be a blessing in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that, Lord, the hearts of everyone would be open. And we ask, O God Almighty, that this word, O God, will become light to our path in the name of Jesus. We give you thanks for today. We exalt your name, that this few minutes that I have, that, Lord, you would help me to be a blessing. I would not injure anyone, but, Lord, I would bless in the name of Jesus. When Pastor was talking about how this generation has become light, it is very true. The degradation over the years has been a lot. Those days, when you give your life to Christ, there is a sanctification that you have. Everybody knows that you are born again. And there are just some elementary sanctifications that a sister or a brother should have. But we realize now that those things are far leaving us. It's now, okay, I can do this as far as I don't do this. We are now living in days whereby truth is now diluted. That was not truth, but that was the era of the Holy Ghost. We live in a day that people get born again and they remain the same. Not because the power that made you born again is less or is not potent enough. But now, the soul has journeyed so much into death, journeyed so much into the world, has mixed with the world so much, the density of sin has become thicker. So when the light shines to your heart, normally once you just give your life to Christ, you know, some things just automatically dries up. Now, so what am I saying? I'm saying that we are talking about singlehood and what you should do as a single person. So everyone has deposits of the Holy Ghost. There are some consecration of the Holy Ghost that we should have as a sister. And in the place of counseling, I just realized that many of these things is not there. Just very little consecration is not there. You know, for instance, hearing the Holy Ghost for yourself. Knowing when you are out of line. Little things like some people still offend without knowing. The attention on self is still so strong. Everything is to yourself. I realize that, you know, we have people who are not selfish. When we got born again, the issue of giving was not, they taught us how to give. But I realize that these days, people don't, somebody would rather save money to buy a wig. And see, you are living in a house. You save money to buy a wig where there are obvious needs around you. Or you save money to do something about yourself. Or some people save money now for alteration of body while there are needs around. And then I ask, what happened to the Holy Ghost inside of you? So, because some of us, we got born again into these waters. And that's why mommy would always emphasize that drink milk, drink milk, drink milk. And except that foundation, once that foundation is not worked on, we'll keep, even though it looks as if you are growing, but you are not developing. You know, a child can be growing, but he's not meeting his milestones. You can grow and you are not walking, but you are getting fat, but you cannot move. So if that foundation is not done properly, we'll find out that we'll have issues, simple issues in marriages, simple issues that we are not supposed to have, that should not come to the place of counseling. You just realize that we'll have such issues. So the essence of marriage is beautiful. Marriage is God's intention for man. Marriage is God's intention for every man, every woman. It's good. There are some salvation lessons you would not come into, but for marriage. Core essence of marriage is that two people, a man and a woman, growing under God, will be able to lay hold on God. They grow and grow and grow and grow, and you know, one day, both parties are holding God. So if that is mindset, if that's the intention, if that's what it's in your mind, who should be your company? It should be somebody or people that are also looking for what you are looking for. When we hear people come to us and they will say things like, can we marry outside the fold? There is somebody in my office that wants me to marry. He's a good guy. Things like that. When we hear things like that, it's clear you are not looking for something. You don't know how beautiful it is for two people to flock together. You cannot be unequally yoked. What's your destination? It's your destination, God. If your destination is not God, then you can marry anybody. But if, I haven't heard the words of truth, if you hear that and you step out of this place today and say, oh, this is the level at which I can go with God, you will shortchange yourself. Because the Holy Ghost, that every one of us should drink into the Holy Ghost properly. When you drink into the Holy Ghost properly as a single lady, there's an understanding you would have. And there's a basis of which you would do marriage to an extent. During our time, Holy Ghost was a requirement. Your time, your season, Christ is a requirement. Christ is the requirement. My time, it was Holy Ghost. The pastor will ask you, is he born again? Are you born again? You push, you go and marry. Now we are not going to ask you, is he born again? How much have you been cleansed? How much of the world has left your soul? If your soul and the things that you value are still things that an unbeliever would value, then you are not ready for marriage. I'm sorry. Why? Darkness has increased. Darkness has done what? Has increased. Darkness has increased. Pressure has also increased. Even the natural pressure upon the earth now. You can't just stay with the elementary light. You must have it as a foundation. It's not sustainable. So it will take a man that actually knows God's purpose for his life not to be under pressure. When financial pressure hits him, not to do the wrong thing. Like I said, there's so much of pressure, both outward and inward. So it's important that in this generation, certain things that we hold dear, like those days, it used to be, okay, is he born again? Is he accountable? Pastor taught me. He said, you must ask the man who he's under And it mustn't be father. You know, some of you, now if I should ask you, who can call you to order? You say, my elder brother. No other person aside from your elder brother can call you to order. That's a problem. Some of you, you say, it's my father. Then when your father goes to be with the Lord, you become not. And she taught us then. She said, before you marry the man, tell him to give you 5 people that I submitted under, that is accountable to. My husband gave me 8, I've been 9. By the time I saw dinner, I said, okay, we can go. Because I know that if I go to meet any of these ones, one call will be enough. But I've not had reasons to go and meet anybody. Because we didn't have differences. But because why? Both parties are looking for one thing. So when you do the things that you do, and when you fall prey to certain sins, are you afraid? Do you have enough fear? We live in a generation where people lack fear. You don't fear nobody. Once they correct you like this, you are gone. So if you are like that, it's something that you need to pray very well. Pray to be somebody that can be subject. Every man here should be subject. Every woman should be subject. You cannot demand submission from a woman if you are not also a man under authority. So as singles, some of the things that we have to learn and add to measure before you even think about a lady, how much of correction can I take? You know, there are some corrections that when it comes like this, we feel embarrassed. There are some people that cannot talk to us. If you are that kind of person that the pastorate is still looking at your eyes, that I can't say it. They are still beating around the bush on how to say a particular thing that to you so that you don't get offended, then you are not ready to marry because your wife will not be able to correct you. And if your wife cannot correct you, who can talk to you? I want us to just do an audit of ourselves, an audit of how much of meekness. Let's do a little bit of audit of our meekness level. Some sisters, if they tell you this thing you are wearing is not good, you come out of your house. Who is looking at me? I beg. Your fellow sister in the house cannot tell you this thing you are wearing is not good. It's a problem. And then you think that one man someday will be able to talk to you. You won't be able to receive any instruction from the man. When a man tells you, go and remove that clothes, I don't like it, you feel offended. For what? Are you the one that bought it? And then you don't have enough fear. Both of you are coming to church. You still wear that same cloth. You follow him and come to church. And then you raise up your hands and then you cry. So these are the things that being subject are things that you learn as a single sister. You learn as a single brother. Being subject one to another, how hard are you? How easy are they able to entreat you? How much can you take sorry? You know, are you entreatable? Can somebody tell you sorry and then you hear sorry? You know, some people, they are sorry. You have to bring pizza to appease the gods inside of you. They have to bring a lot of things to appease it before you hear sorry. But how quick are you to move on? How quick are you to let go of your defense? You know, when I first got married, sorry was not enough. After a while, with growth, I just realized that he says sorry. Sorry is sorry. It is enough. And I must be satisfied that sorry is enough. And you must have enough capacity for many sorries. How many times were we taught to receive for forgiveness? So let's start practicing it. Because one man will keep telling you sorry for one thing for a long time. And if you are somebody that you don't have the capacity enough to receive it, it becomes a problem. You will give pastors problem. The problem with some of these things is that when you don't use a particular season to overcome them, it becomes habitual. It will kick. You would pray in the Holy Ghost, but that thing stays. And you see, it's that thing that Satan would always come and touch whenever he wants to come. Whenever he wants to come for your child, touches that thing. Whenever he wants to steal from you, he touches that thing. So when the Holy Ghost is on you to say, this thing, I don't want it again, it's important for us to agree. First and foremost, agree. When they say you are stubborn, don't abuse them back. Go back and ask, Lord, what is it in me that is stubborn? You know, everybody in church could say, ah, that sister is very good. But you take audit from those in your household. And everybody is telling you, stop this, whatever, you are heady. And then you say that they don't like me in this house. Go back to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, why? What exactly is this? When we don't do that, what happens is that that thing grows with you. Like the corn and the wheat, it grows. They grow together. And then it becomes fortified. Satan now lies to you, that is who you are. Is that thing that Satan will hinge on to bring one down. So let's go back to our foundation. Let's go and check it again. How much am I able to, for sisters, and the issue of marriage is coming to our hearts and coming to our heart. How leadable am I? I allow somebody else to take over my life. How can I allow somebody else to dictate my money? And for our brothers, how well will a woman be able to tell me, oh, my darling, this is what I feel we should do with the money to this month. And I'm able to say, okay, we'll drop it. Or you think it's only women that should drop the money at the feet of the husbands? So you submit one unto the other. Let's strengthen our submission level. How much can I come under? How much can I take? How low can I go? So these are things that, you know, in the quest of wanting to get married, you begin to talk to the Lord about it. You begin to ask the Lord, Lord, help me in this area. I realize that I get offended when they talk to me at this level. You know, some of us, our problem is our age. For our sisters and brothers that are 35 and above, it's our age. Some of us is an idol. How can this small person talk to me? Age, advantage, all of those things could be some people's problem. Sisters that, you know, and brothers that some people is the age. And then the Lord is waiting for us to die to that age. It is nothing. But the whole thing is like, how can? It's something strong to us in our hearts. So those are things that, you know, we need to deal with. So let's look at all those areas of our lives. Let's visit our milk expressions also. And let's redress our foundation. Marriage is actually a tool to getting God. With marriage, it's something to be desired. It's not the only tool to get God. But it's an aid through which you can fast track your approach to the Lord. Why? Because you are imperfect. The person you'll be getting married to is also imperfect. So you are to use each other's imperfections to actually lay hold of a beam. That's the essence of marriage. You see, my sisters and brothers that just like the thought of it, it's good. But beyond the thought of it, if I push further and say, okay, the thought of what exactly about the thought of marriage do you like? I would hear some sincere answers that tells me some people would like the whole wedding. How many people like wedding? You like wedding, right? Yes, we do. So, but you know, marriage is beyond that one day. All of that is just a replica, is a show of an ultimate bridal party that would come for people who have journeyed together and are able to come to marry the Lamb. So that's very important. It's important for us to say that. So if the definition of marriage is to get a person, then every other thing that we have known, or the things that we ought to know in getting the person, or you should be yoked with, should be somebody who is also aiming at getting what you are looking for. Can two work together? So the agreement there is that you are looking for God, I'm looking for God. Though I'm very imperfect, but you know, this is our imperfection. As we journey to God, everything will be coming perfect. So every wedding anniversary, it's a celebration of people who have changed garments. It's a celebration of a change of garments. It's not just the two pictures coming together and say, ah, you did photo shoot. Ah, 10 years, 1 year, you did photo shoot. No, that's not it. What would have changed in 1 year is that I came into marriage with a lot of selfishness in me. And in 1 year, I've moved. That's why they should say happy anniversary to me. It's not because time clocked. No, happy anniversary because I have changed. I'm a better human being under God. The man God gave me, I'm better under him. And he's better under my care. That means at every anniversary, they are telling me that, oh, you have appreciated. The person I gave you, God is asking for the person that he gave you. Has that person survived in your hands? If at the end of the first year anniversary, the person depreciated because of you, then you've not done well. Nobody should say happy anniversary to you. There's nothing happy about your anniversary. So the essence of marriage is to ensure that partner with somebody that the person can appreciate under you. The person can become better under you. If you have nothing to make somebody better, then you shouldn't be looking for a man. Don't be looking for somebody that will make you better. Look for somebody that you can better such a person's life. Don't get married if all you want is somebody who would make you better. That's selfishness. And those are things that the Lord will need to deal with. Somebody should appreciate under you. Somebody should become better because she met you. Somebody should become more heavenly because she met you. Somebody should become, the person used to pray so much before they met you. And the person met you and both of you are praying a lot better. The person used to study before he met you and the person met you, the person studying a lot better. Isn't it? So anything less than that, it should be that work was not done during singlehood. So one of the things that's reasons when you will know that you are ready for marriage is that are you ready to take care of God's child, male or female? If the reason why you want to get married is for somebody to come and cook for you, or for somebody to be washing your clothes, or for you to stretch your leg and you say, "Ah, honey, what about my lunch? What am I having for lunch today?" If that's the reason you want to get married, please don't get married. You are not ready. So self-centeredness would be dealt with. The introduction of Christ actually deals with, the meals of Christ deals with it. We can see that in 1 Corinthians 13. All of those things to a level, to a great level. Like Pastor Thompson said, we are not saying that you should be perfect before you get married. But what we are saying is that there is a level, there's a baseline that everybody should be. And because this is a Christ community joining into God, everyone that should get married should have a great level of Christ's substances in him. One of the plumb line is your love walk. No, it's easy to love me, my wife, and I. It's easy to do that one. You want to marry, you want to engage in a relationship. Is she somebody that just likes just me? Nobody comes to my house. So there are certain things that, you know, you must actually, what exactly do you want? Just like that Thompson was talking about, he was saying how truth is in progression.
You can start there and say, like he once said, yellow leading. Yes, you might start with yellow leading, but you mustn't end there. Thing that maturity does to you is that it changes your taste bud. That's not how you fellowship with the Lord for a great time, that your taste bud for life won't change. Those idols could be very strong in the heart of a man. You know, how she looks, you know, all of those things. And those things can be stronger than God's purpose for your life. So let's do an audit about the reason why I want to marry. And look at the kind of ladies that flash to you as potential wives. What kind of woman, when you think about wife, a beauty queen that her soul has not been changed cannot handle a home. As a single brother, as a single sister, let's audit using scriptures. Don't shut down. Another thing where you'd come, you know, is that place of being sincere. Some of these things are stronger than we think. For some sisters, looks could be a great deal. Why? Because there's no faith in the heart. Do you know, the issue with looks is that there's actually nobody that is ugly. That person that you call ugly, change his state. Put money on that body. Put grace on that body. You now realize that what is even ugly is worldliness. When you marry, what you relate with is the beauty on the inside. What you marry is inside. It's not this, because this would always change. It will always change. Corruption, everything, it will change. Let nothing on the outward be as a single sister. You know, somebody is coming to, you know, and we sisters, we know how to do it. You already perceive somebody is coming close, but it doesn't just meet up with your external calculations. And he's a brother in the church. He's coming through this door. You have looked for, or you just grab another sister that you have never spoken to. Hey, sister. And then you start talking to that one. Why? You don't want somebody else. And then Holy Ghost is not even telling you he's your husband. Holy Ghost is just telling you, befriend this person. Help me befriend this person. But the loss in the soul is already feeling, what if I befriend and he starts asking me out? I cannot marry a short man. He's too short. Amen. The brother is too short. Or the sister is too short. I also see that also sometimes we should also be careful with external appreciation without internal appreciation. You know, because of some level of exposure, you get a particular job and then you work in a particular place. And then Satan just tells you that, is it this kind of brother? During my wedding, my colleagues will see this kind of person as a husband. You turn down God's gift to you because you are myopic and all you can see is today. There's an appearance you want to view. You want to tell your colleagues that you that look very hot in the office, and you say that you are a Christian, you have a hot Holy Ghost brother. You are ashamed of the one that the Lord brings. So these are the dealings that the Lord will bring to us. And sometimes, if we don't allow the Lord, he will wait for you. Sometimes, you would now have to wait till the time that you begin to beg and ask the Lord. I just gave different scenarios so that we can go and do an audit and look at ourselves. Where exactly am I? What exactly am I looking for? What's actually my desire as a single sister? What are my specs? My specs, have I laid everything down before Jesus? Have I been able to lay everything down before Jesus? And you know, it's important for us to know that you can't do without the Holy Ghost. Let's revisit our foundation. Let's revisit our walk with the Holy Ghost. Let's revisit our leadings. You know, some of us, you've gone far. 3 days, 4 days before the Holy Ghost can tell you what you did last week was wrong. And then you want to marry. You know the problem with that? The problem with that is that we'll not be able to pick things. Even when it comes to your children, you won't be able to pick things around your children. There will be spirits around, and then you'd have quarreled. No, it is when probably the child is now sick, like, what even happened? Okay, they now say you should go and bring 1 million, and you're asking, oh God, oh God, oh God. Holy Ghost will now tell you that this is the reason why this child is sick. Why? In your singlehood, you didn't learn to pick the temperature of the spirit. You don't know when the spirit has left. You don't know when he's with you. You don't know when you have offended. So let's revisit our foundation. Ephesians 5 from verse 15. See then that ye walk what? Not as what? Redeeming the time. In the days that we live in, it's tougher. Motherhood is going to become tougher than how it was for us. You know, it's going to become tougher. It would take a woman of the Holy Ghost to be able to find her place, to make it easy. So let's continue. What's the will of God concerning marriage? Salvation ultimately. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You know, this one not solely about marriage. The ultimate will of the Lord. Understanding it, we must be knowledgeable. We must be people that are aware. We must be people who are steadily growing in the knowledge of God. And be not drunk with wine, therein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. These are days that it should come back to us. You know, you go visit another brother and then you break into psalms. You break into fellowship. You break into spiritual songs. Those are days that should come back. You don't go and visit somebody and then you left emptier than you came. Don't go to that house again. You go and visit somebody and then you have an impartation. You pray back home. Have you visited somebody and then you had a conversation and you prayed in the Holy Ghost back home? Those are companies that we should keep. You talk about something and then, you know, the next thing, both of you are praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's exercise it. Somebody comes to tell you about a thing. Practice to pray with the person that, okay, let's pray. It might start dry. Start by saying, God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this thing that my sister is talking about, start like that. And you will grow. This speaking in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, it won't start one day. Everything here is not for the super spiritual. It's supposed to be in our fellowships. It's supposed to be in our conversations. I should speak psalms to you and you speak psalms back to me. It was so in the early church. That was their gist. Don't call me and say, oh, did you see what is trending? Those are not conversations that if you have a friend and that's all the friend always have to say at every call. Such a person, defriend the person. Or rather, instead of you defriending the person, speak to the person back about the Holy Ghost. We live in a generation of talking about the Lord is no longer fashionable. You feel if you talk about Jesus, they will look at you one kind. And because we don't want to be looked at in a particular way, we rather keep quiet. So you are asking yourself, in the next 2 years, I'm waiting for marriage in the next 2 years. Appreciate in talking about Jesus. Appreciate in desiring the Lord for prophecies for somebody. Appreciate in watching around and searching for needs. Appreciate in looking for people's issues and praying about it. How many of us would do that? Because even me that I'm speaking, I need to grow in that. When was the last time the Holy Ghost woke you up to pray concerning somebody? Those things are fast eroding us. When was the last time they woke you up to say, I want you to pray? Sometimes just pray. You just have a burden to pray. So these are things that should come back. As a single sister looking for what to do with your time, those are things that you should come back. Sow into people's marriages as a single sister or a single brother. As far as you can see things with this, your eyes, don't shut it. You can see, oh, this person is not doing so well. You have a car, you are a single brother, and then you know a family with two children that brings keke to church, and you will just park your own car and you are happy you came to church early. Ah, no. It's not good. Do love walk exercise. Look for a family that you can pick that doesn't have a car and commit to it. I will pick you and I will drop you every Sunday. It's bad to think of buying things just for yourself, only yourself. If that's all you think about, you are not ready to get married. If by the time you get your salary, the only thing that goes out of your salary is your tithes, then you are not ready to do what? Get married. So be that person that is exercised in love work. Exercised. One thing with singlehood is that most people that are single, what happens is that they don't see many things. You should ask the Lord to help you see. Then, as a single lady, if I don't even know what used to come on me, if you are pregnant, I will just go and sit down by your side. I will be asking you questions. I'll be asking you questions in the church. Once you give birth, I will resume in your house. I didn't know that the Lord will commit children into my hands. I will resume in your house. I will help you to fetch your water. I will help you to carry your baby. I will help you to, in the church, go and sit down. I will be the one. I will back your baby for you. So you really cannot tell graces that would rest on you. Don't just, you just see a woman struggling with a baby. You just pass. Now, wow, all these children say, ah, motherhood is really stressful, or it is well. And then you just pass. When it comes to your turn, because you are not exercised, you will complain. 20, giving thanks always. We live in an unthankful generation. If your heart is filled with thanksgiving, you will not fall into depression. If you have a thankful heart, you will not fall into depression. If you know how to appreciate God for the little, appreciate God for little graces, appreciate God for your looks, and appreciate Him. It's the world that defines who a perfect woman should look like. But if everybody is as slim as a stick, will the world be fine? Will it be beautiful? So you are who you are by the grace of God, and you are well formed. Your nose is fine. Your eyes are fine. Your forehead is fine. Your legs are fine. Just follow God. There will be a man that will like, out of that thing that you don't like, there will be a man that is all that he likes about your body. You think it's a lie? Marry somebody that you cannot touch her inside. The beauty, the true beauty is in her inside. That's what you touch. That's what you marry. Is every other thing. There was the real beauty the man could not touch on the inside. So sisters, prepare to be beautiful. Make yourself beautiful. Having these natures would make us beautiful. That somebody else can be able to touch. You know, you can give beauty and you can also receive beauty. Amen.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.